Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. My name is Dave Turco and I'm here with co-host Judy Sellens and our monthly resident psychic guest, Mr. Gary McKinstry. Good morning, Judy. Good morning, Gary.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
David, I'll let you tell them our phone number in case they want to get a hold of Gary, because I got a question.
Yep. Our phone number here is, if you want to call in, sorry about this, folks. Of course, right when we go in, I get a little frog in my throat. The call-in number is 347-637-2956. If I said that too quickly, it's on our show page. So you can, for the write-up for the description of the show, it's there. And you can call in anytime, 347-637-2956, and Gary will take your questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to ask him one. Gary, I've been looking for something that belonged to our great-grandfather, I guess, and I'm trying to find it for a number of reasons, but one of them is that I believe that it is in the hands of Scotland. And what we're trying to find is our great-great-grandfather's castle that he owned.
Uh-huh.
And we've been having a hard time because I don't know the name of the castle, and I don't know what county it's in. And yet, it's kind of an important issue that we want to get into with it, but I didn't know if you can give me any information on it.
I need to ask you one question. Do you know if you're from the Bruce side or the Wallace side?
God, I'm not even sure. My grandmother was from royalty, so she had, yes, basically she was connected to all of the King Jameses, which were Stuarts.
All right.
And
so the Stuart or the royalty, she's from the Bruce side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wallace
okay.
is the other side. Bruce
yep.
side would be more southern Scotland, not the Highlands. Okay, the Highlands
mm-hmm.
are more of the Wallace side. So we can narrow it down basically to the southern, if there is such a thing, the southern end of Scotland, so to speak, closer
mm-hmm.
to the... closer to the UK. All right.
All right.
That'll
right.
help. Now we know we're not looking at the entire country itself.
Oh, because
more
yes,
likely,
I mean they've got thousands of castles and.
Well, I know, but we're gonna kind of like wind it down a little more now.
Oh, good.
If she was nobility, there's a good chance she's not on the coast. Okay, so you can pretty
oh, yeah?
much figure Isle of Skye and all of those places are out. You've got to go
mm-hmm.
more inland. And now we're probably talking maybe 10 or 15 counties instead of like 20 or 30, you know.
Right.
And I would suggest it's probably near the border.
Huh.
The more
right.
noble you felt you were, especially if you're on the Stuart side, the closer you are to the central power.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's probably not too far outside of, like, let's say, Edinburgh, something like that, the seat of power.
That's really, because I was just going to say she went to Edinburgh every summer to spend time with her mother.
Right, and that's probably about 20, there's a 20-mile radius I would check
mm-hmm.
into. So if you
All right.
take a thumbtack, stick it in the map of Edinburgh, and take a pencil and a string and figure 20 miles straight out, this
mm-hmm.
is going to, like, cut your search down dramatically.
Yeah. Yeah, because
so
I've been trying, like, you know, for weeks to try to find it, and it's really difficult, you know, to try to, there's just so many of them. And
but
even though this one is medieval and it's a completely different type of castle than a lot of the others,
yeah.
I just haven't been able to locate it.
Yeah, but Judith, you know, what's interesting is, like, on Amazon, for God's sakes, Ancestry.com, anybody of that rank, they would certainly have a genealogy, and it would say, you know, like, I was born at West Sully Hospital. It would always, they would be born at the castle, and it would say that.
Right,
tell you
which right.
County. But, again, if you're really looking at it logistically, the people mm-hmm. didn't go over 20 miles, because 20 miles would take you, like, 2 days, okay? So she spent
right.
her summers in Edinburgh. It's probably a two-day trip, which puts you, like I said, 20 miles out. Because 10 miles a day is a big deal. So
yeah.
you could figure she's in that range. So,
huh.
and as far as the medieval, you also need to look for a water source.
Because it has a moat.
Right. Not every castle does, especially in Scotland. A lot of them were built high and dry.
Right. They were, yeah.
Right. But if it's medieval, it probably has a moat. It probably has everything. So it has to have a water source near it.
Okay.
That cuts down another 20% of your castle.
Well, let me know when you find it, because I've been looking for literally weeks trying to find this stupid thing.
Yeah.
And the other thing that it is being that it's medieval, it's literally a black castle.
Mm-hmm.
All of the stone
yeah.
is black that's in it. So most of the castles are of a gray stone. They aren't that black stone, but I figured, I'll just be able to find it real easily, and I haven't been.
Well, does Scotland have a registry of all the castles?
Yes, they do, but not all of them were photographed. But on top of that, the only thing I can go by is my memory of what it looked like. And I can remember exactly what it looked like on the outside and everything. I'm just having a problem trying to locate the area. And that's the only thing I could think of was it's got to be near Edinburgh, because that's where she went every year.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to keep searching for it around Edinburgh area. And see if I can find it.
Like I said, I wouldn't look over 20 miles out.
All right.
Because you also got to remember, castles were like way stations. You only put them so far as to the amount of land you can protect.
Mm. Well, my great-great-grandfather owned miles, and just literally miles of land.
Right.
And so it went on for quite a ways. That castle, originally built in, like, 1300, was owned by kings. And then he was a lord, so, you know, it kind of, they used to get a lot of kings and queens as stopovers.
Do you have the actual name, the official name of your great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather?
He was a Cameron.
Like I said,
he was one of the heads of the Cameron clan.
Oh.
Yeah. The further north you go, you get into chieftains. You don't get into lords and all that. You're breaking down into almost tribal.
Uh-huh.
That's why you want to stay in the southern part, because that's where your royalty usually was.
Okay.
Yeah, they call it laird anyway.
Laird.
Laird, yeah. My grandmother used to call it laird. But, yeah, no, it's been really difficult trying to find it, because I had... My brothers always question whether or not he could have ever been title. And when I notified them of my grandmother and stuff, then they had said that we absolutely could be titled. And so it was then where the, you know, who... the castle was supposed to be inherited by his sons and his daughter, but the
right.
sons got into a fight. One killed the other one, and then the other one threw himself out a tower window because he was ashamed of what he'd done. And the daughter just up and walked off and left with one of the young gardeners. And that was, she just couldn't deal with it anymore.
Was that your grandmother?
So, great-grandmother.
Your great-grandmother went off with the gardener.
Yeah, she had left with him.
Right.
And then they had told her to come back because she was supposed to inherit everything. But still, I mean, try to find, I mean, it's something that size and you can't find it. You know, I didn't know if it had been damaged, like, during the war or whatever.
Even
but,
if it's damaged, there'll still be enough of it to find. You know what I mean?
Right, and the thing about Scotland is they protect those ruins even, so.
Yeah, they're not going to turn it into a, they're not going to take it apart, you know, to use the blocks
no.
or something else, so it'll still be there.
Yeah. Well,
you know, as far as the family having a title, I would almost check with the Church of England.
Mm-hmm.
Go on their registry, because if it's Scottish, there's a good chance that the title is still registered in the Church of England.
Oh, all right. I can try that, too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And from there, if you can get that, you could track down, you know, try it from a different angle. Track down the lineage that way.
Yeah, and then I figured maybe if I found... See, they only, you know, as far as our great-grandfather went, I don't know his first name. And there were other Camerons, but yet he would be the only one that I know of that didn't have any, his sons, you know, weren't around or anything, where the other ones, their sons inherited their fathers. They would have been probably cousins.
All right, do you remember your great-grandmother's name?
I've got all my grandmother's paperwork from Scotland, and it's supposed to, her birth certificate would have her grandmother's name, and then, or her mother's name.
Right.
And there should be, I think, in Scotland's birth certificates, the grandparents as well. So I have to go through all that paperwork. I've been trying to be very careful with it because it's so frail at point that I'm afraid of destroying it. You know, it's been locked up. I got the family crest, but I don't have the rest of it. And it's like, you know, it seems to be endless.
Do you have a tartan?
A tartan.
Yes, we do. But as a matter of fact, my grandmother had rolled up a piece of the tartan and put it down behind the family crest.
Right,
so that,
because you could track the area by the tartan too.
Mm-hmm.
Because each tartan.
Yeah, I gotta take that out and see if I mean, it's really like a treasure hunt kind of thing, you know, when you're trying to find this thing. And I thought, geez, you know, if we went over to Scotland, because he was saying, you know, hey, maybe I could be an earl or something. And I says, you're not going to be an earl. Grandma didn't have any earls in her family.
The Duke of Earl.
But he's so funny. And then when I look back, the only thing that was in my grandmother's family were lords, ladies, kings, and queens.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's about what she had. I mean, she was multi-related to kings and queens.
Yeah.
Well, I went on this thing. And just put in Cameron Castle in Scotland. And there's Cameron Clan, the Clan Castle. And it has different things. Tor Castle Ruin. Apparently that. Clan name is Cameron. Clan chief is Donald Angus Cameron.
Donald, that's not, but that's where they had the clan chiefs.
Yeah. The Cullen Lands are in Western Highlands, Scotland, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gives its little history. I don't know. But you're right. There are tons of them over there.
Oh, yeah.
Cameron
oh,
is
yeah.
a that, that's a major name over there, so.
Well, a lot of people changed their name to Cameron so they could be part of the clan.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was a powerful clan.
Oh, look. Sir Alan Cameron went to America. Oh, he helped to defend Quebec against Arnold. That was in the 1700s. 1793. I don't know. Interesting.
It would be interesting to see what castle he lived in.
Yeah, I know. Excuse me. My family's more northern. We're more all Highland.
Yeah.
Oh, there actually gives a picture of it, yeah.
Yeah, we're more tower people.
Mm-hmm.
Before you built the castle, basically, before you built anything, they built the tower first.
Right.
The one piece. And the keep basically mm-hmm. became your armory, it became your home until the castle was built. Sometimes they never built the castle, they just built the keep, which is just a round structure.
Right,
those are in
yeah.
the high up floor. So, anyway.
Yeah, it gets really interesting when you get into, you know, what they did. I know the other castle that our family was with was Stirling. And that was in Glasgow. But that one gets really interesting because Stirling has been found now to be sitting on top of a wooden castle, which the wooden castles were the original castles to Scotland. And if it is, if that's what it is, then it would be the castle of King Arthur.
Hmm?
So that's really fascinating. King Arthur, yeah. It would have been the castle where King Arthur would go. And out the back, what got really interesting was National Geographic had it on. They were talking about the Knights of the Round Table and all of that. And when they look out into the back, down off this cliff that Stirling sits on, there's a huge square area that's raised up. And it's covered in grass now, but the other part is a big circular ring in the middle of it. So they asked for permission to dig around it. And when they did, they found chairs that had been chiseled or cut out of stone that completely encircle that big ring. And the only thing that they kept saying was this has to be literally the round table, which makes a lot of sense because a wooden castle was small. They wouldn't have had the rooms big enough to have a castle that would contained that many knights, because if a king lived in one of these castles, then he could have up to 350 to 500 knights. And so it makes perfect sense, because who's ever speaking could stand in the center of that big round area, and every one of those knights would be able to hear the same distance all the way around. They would be able to hear what he was saying.
And where is this Stirling
it's
castle?
It's in Glasgow.
Oh, I didn't even know. I didn't think King Arthur even went up there.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
and he stayed in that castle. It was originally back when Scotland was actually beginning to form and have its own castles and stuff. And they made the original ones out of wood.
Yeah.
So, you know, the history of it gets very interesting, but I figured I'm going to lose my mind and rip my hair out if I don't find out where this
that.
Stupid thing is, but it would be interesting, you know, because now I can tell, you know, well, I can't at this moment because I want more information, but yeah, I can actually say to my brother, you know, you won't be an earl, but you could be a lord. So yeah. My father should have inherited everything. And then he didn't do it because his mother didn't step up and do anything about it. It's great fun to research that kind of stuff. And
well, generally speaking, I just want to say this. Even though they might not be in your family, when somebody's famous or, if you will, you know, titled, somebody mm-hmm. has done the genealogy of it.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just find that right on the because even like on my pilgrim ancestors, people who aren't even related to me have done it because, you know, they were famous or whatever in that way, you know, the Mayflower business. Because that's all done by the Mayflower Society. And any of those things, that's a big deal over there. So so you have to break out those papers and risk ruining them just because the more accurate you get, especially the names, it's not that far back, you know?
No, it's not far back, and that's the whole thing. They had said that if it was a wider gap between my brother and I and the royalty itself, then that would be a problem, but we're close. So
yeah, you're still within a few generations. We're not, like you said, we're not talking, you know, 10,000 years, 1,000 years even. We're that ballpark, so
yeah, no, it's not that far, you know. So
you
I guess I have to keep digging.
If you decide to go take it back, we'll go with you.
Actually, they're telling us that you would have to have a Scottish citizenship, but I'm thinking they must have dual citizenship because my grandmother traveled to Scotland and spent 6 months of the year in Scotland, 6 months in America.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it probably does have dual. The other thing was that they prefer that you're landowners. But if our great-great-grandfather's castle has never been claimed and it's still in the hands of Scotland, they will allow you or the blood family to actually reclaim it. So, yeah, you could claim the thing, I guess. I said, well, it's going to matter. I don't really want to come up and find this thing with 150 friggin' rooms tied to it. I mean, who's going to pay for the fuel for that?
Well, chances are it's in disrepair, and that would be the first order right there.
Well, yeah, but see, it wasn't at the time because they lived in it.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah, no, but
it was very livable.
Oh, I'm sure. But
and what they do is they maintain them as they get them. They'll maintain them and repair them because they don't want them to fall apart.
Oh,
that's
no,
what
that's
they use for their tourist traps.
Yeah. You could have your own little gift shop.
Yeah. I can see my brother out there with his stupid outdoor grill making hot dogs and hamburgers for everybody. It would be interesting, but you know, it is worth checking into, and only because if we don't do something, that line of our family, our family tree would just die out.
It's nice to know where you come from. It's nice to be able to pinpoint things, and you know, to say, okay, this is us, and to find out where the heritage part comes in. I'm with you 110%.
Yeah.
You can find it. It's not so much about reclaiming. That's lovely. But A is the maintenance, the money, the expense, even if you had it. But it's the idea.
It would cost a fortune to keep it up. Yeah. And that's why Scotland is very glad if you'll take it off their hands.
I'm sure they are.
It's like, sure, you can come over. You know, you can pay for the heat bill for this friggin' thing, so.
Well, by the way, we have back taxes on the place.
Yeah, God knows what all.
But the weird thing is, though, because I don't know if you've done any of the ancestry DNA stuff, Gary, yourself.
I have a feeling I know. I've known most of the family.
Well, you know, I thought I knew who I was. This is that weird thing. I mean, by and large, it was very accurate, like the 23andMe. But, you know, I thought my mother was half Scottish and half English with a little bit of other stuff thrown in there, meaning I knew I had a little bit of Welsh that goes back a ways. I knew a little bit of Northern Irish. And then I had my great-great-grandmother, Nellie Donovan, so that sounds like Irish. But, and then my father supposedly was 100% Italian. So I turned out to be 29% Italian.
Uh-huh.
And, well, it really even started when my nephew did it, and my niece is only around 2% Italian. And so she goes, to her mother, I thought grandpa was 100% Italian. How can I be 2% Italian? But the thing is,
I don't think anyone in Europe is 100% anything.
Exactly. And what happens is, it is absolutely amazing with the number of ways our DNA rearranges when we are hatched. You know,
right.
What you get from your mother and father. Some of the DNA, you know, because I can see I've got, you know, let's see, I have a couple of siblings who have done it. I've got nieces, nephews, whatever, cousins. What's interesting is, depending on what you inherit, in as far as DNA goes, I'm related to some people, because it'll show your DNA relatives, whether you know them or not, that I'm related to that my sister isn't related to, my full-blooded sister, you know. So how can that be? But when it starts to get down to just a few percent, if we didn't get the same DNA from our parents, you know, I've got that part and you've got that part, and that relative did, you know, the same or different. It's amazing how quickly it is that you have almost no DNA of them at all. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I think it is true too. Sometimes some people take way more, even though it's supposedly 50-50, you know, what expresses, and there are certain genes that seem to be very dominant that keeps coming through. So I turned out to have more. Okay, so then it also breaks down. I recommend 23andMe to anybody because you can do lots of things with it, and it also breaks down your relatives by country of origin. Now, of course, most of my relatives are Americans who have done it. Second most, Irish. People actually from Ireland with supposedly 100%, you know, parents, grandparents, all Irish for generations. And I'm like, okay, so that Scottish was not really so much Scottish. Maybe it was more Irish, or it's just crazy.
You have to remember when it comes to the Scottish-Irish part that it went back and forth.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, the Irish, the England brought in the Scottish to suppress the Irish at one point,
right?
Which basically didn't work because they all kind of ended up together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that merry mix of people. So to separate one from the other genetically is pretty tough.
Right.
You know, to say, okay, here's the line where you're Scottish, here's the line where you're Irish. You know, that's all right. For years I heard we were Scottish, but we were also supposed to be Black Irish. And I always wondered, what the heck is Black Irish?
Correct.
It's not Afro-American Irish. What it is basically,
no.
It was, pardon me?
No, it's, yeah,
no,
we know.
I'm
we know.
I'm just agreeing with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of funny, you know. My family makeup, you know, as far as I know, it's Scottish, French, Polish, Russian, a little Nigerian. Mm. You know, I mean, I can pretty much trace some of it. It would be nice. At some point, I'm going to have to do that because I'd like to know. Sure. You know?
Yeah, and I have a little bit of sub-Saharan African, just a little bit. So that came as a bit of a surprise to me. But I turned out to be 11-point-something% Middle Eastern. Which would have been
that's
from my father.
The name Turk.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
However, one of my siblings got zero.
Yeah.
Z-E-R-O. Zero. You know, that's kind of spooky. But
yeah.
And I never thought of myself as, well, I always liked Middle Eastern food. That part's true. And I always liked Egypt, but I know I have no Egyptian in me. It would have been more like, you know, Turkey. But supposedly, I have my father's ancestry that goes back to four times great-grandparents.
Yep.
And supposedly, they're not Turkish. But they've got to be, or something like it. Somebody had to be.
Yeah, but that, again...
To have that much, it would be equivalent to a full grandparent or something like that.
Right, but where you're from doesn't necessarily mean who you are, your country of origin.
True.
If you take a child who basically was, let's say, from Chile or Ecuador or whatever, and they've been in this country since they were 6 months old, they're theoretically American.
Right.
But yet they're from Peru, Ecuador, or whatever, so... This is kind of how it works.
Right, but, you know, I was just going by their names as well. And they seem to look like Italian names to me, but I don't know.
Plus, we also assimilate, you know, whether you're, whoever you are, we kind of like formulate the name to match the environment.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're not going to be in Rome, basically, and be Dave McDonald, you know? It's like,
correct.
Wait,
yeah, well. No, I know. Yeah, the whole thing is really
weird.
Yeah, but I strongly recommend it because it's so, so fascinating. And I know it works because, say, my mother did it, and you don't give names. You know, it came back. I have 50% of her DNA, and it says, you know, well, how, I forget the words that they use, suspected or something like that, or not suspected, whatever. But they'll say, you know, this is your mother. And, you know, they can tell. And for instance, so then if you do this group share thing, you don't have to. And it tells you don't do this if you don't want to have any, you know, some surprises.
Right.
And one of my cousins, Mark Fitzgerald, and I'm related to him on both sides of my family, which is bizarre. I never knew that. I know I was related to him on my father's side. But I'm also related to him somehow, Fitzgerald, of course. So I'm related to him on my mother's side and my father's side. But I knew he was my second cousin. And sure enough, it came up and it shows which DNA we have in common. And it says, you know, without knowing anybody, the amount you share in common, he is suspected to be your second cousin. And
well,
sure enough, that's absolutely true.
I've had two clients that came to see me, and they're very concerned because it showed up as they had different siblings.
Really?
Yes. You know, they, as far as they knew, they had like the brother, the sister, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they're finding out they had siblings they never knew.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, okay, I have a new sister or a new brother.
Yeah, it tells you.
Yeah.
It warns you of that. And, you know, really,
that's
I have
why,
found.
Yeah, they would have to warn you that, you know, that's a possibility that could pop up.
And I've had at least, like I said, personally, I've had at least two people that have said, you know, I didn't know I had this. I had a sister. I didn't know I also had a brother.
Wow. Mm.
Which is kind of freaky, you know. It's like, okay, you know, where was dad or where was mom?
Oh, yeah.
You know, as far as we do, it's like they were together forever and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of interesting history goes with this.
For sure.
Yeah, it's like one of the ancestors of my grandmother, he was a king, but he had so many kids that he didn't know which ones were legitimate. And finally, he found out of 40 of his children, he found one child that was legitimate. So that's the one that became the heir.
He should have got cable.
What are you talking about? He wouldn't know who is. The legitimate one would have been from the woman he was married to at the time, surely.
Well, he had to go through all of his children to find out if his children were who was who. And he ended up having 40 children. So, I mean, when it gets into these guys, they were a little bit promiscuous.
Yeah.
Well, that was just human nature, that the big guy gets to spread his quote-unquote seed around. That's what happens. That's how nature works. And human beings are barely different from regular, your run-of-the-mill animal. It's just how it works. It's absolutely amazing. That's why, I mean, like I say, I have so many relatives, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It really is amazing how many of these people popped up that I had no idea. None.
With the mortality rate is 30 years old, you have as many kids as you can.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Your Commodore basically died somewhere late 20s, early 30s. Back then, you know, it's kind of like the Moses thing where they said Moses is 300 and some odd years old.
Yeah.
They interpreted that as years old. They could have interpreted it as lifetimes. And if it's three lifetimes, that's 30 years old, that makes him 90 years old.
Right.
You know, like Moses lived three lifetimes. Well, he could have been 90 because your average person died, like I said, around 30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
one of the things people shouldn't take literally. I know, not to step on anybody's toes about the Bible or anything like that, but some of the scholarly work, it's really worth reading because, you know, when like 40 days and 40 nights, for anybody who's read the Bible, you notice 40 this and 40 that. It's always 40, right? Well, we in today's society where, you know, we can be incredibly precise and compared to them for a long, long time precise, 40 means 40. 39 means 39, and 41 means 40. If we meant 41, we'd say 41. Anything, actually, in 40, or could mean 40, but 40 was also meant to mean a lot.
Right.
It wasn't a precise figure at all. So, like, when, you know, 40 days after the crucifixion, or, you know, when the paraclete came away, it didn't actually mean 40 days, or any of those things. It really wasn't 40, precisely. That we take to mean, you know, written in stone 40. They just weren't as accurate or precise as we are now, and they had different terminology. Same with the ages.
Right. So just a long time. They wrote, you know, put a 40 in there, sounds good, you know, all kind of fits.
Yeah. Interesting stuff there.
But it always cracked me up, because like I said, it wasn't until basically this last, let's say, 30, 40 years, the life expectancy now it's 82 for your average male and 85 for your female, and it's still going up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the average now.
In places like Iceland, I think, and Japan, average woman hits around 90.
Yeah. Let's face it, back in the 50s and 60s, it was like 61 and 64.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like why we base Social Security at 62 and 65.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to basically hit retirement, live for a year, and then die.
Right.
So that would blow the curve out, you know? And it's going to get longer and longer. You know, they're expecting within the next years to be like well into the hundreds and still being relatively healthy.
Yeah.
They got
whole villages, even one over in Italy where they're all over 100 years old, and they're still out doing yard work.
Yeah, they soak them in olive oil every day.
I'm telling you. Amazing. And they look damn good for 100 and over 100.
Yeah.
They really look good.
You know, you think about it, and, you know, by the way, there's always going to be a certain select group of people that will deteriorate earlier because of self-abuse or whatever. But your general population, now, when we're all basically 50, 60, 70, that's considered, like, still going strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just talked to a gentleman the other day, 72, and he's just starting a new business, you know? It's like,
fabulous.
He's up and up. He's out digging, he's got a business, you know? It's like, cool. you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, they keep going right up into their 80s and even older than that. I've seen a lot of them out there dating and having a good time, and they're in their 80s.
Oh, there you go again.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Gary, I have a question for you.
I hopefully have an answer. Go right ahead.
All right. Has to do with yet another rocker who just died, Tom Petty. That's official, by the way. It's now official. He's now dead.
Yeah. And
it was so awful yesterday when the way that was handled was unbelievably bad. And I couldn't help but my sarcastic self make jokes about it. Like, no, but I promise you, folks, he will be dead soon. He really, really will be. Poor guy. So anyway, the thing is this. Officially, they could detect life in his body. But was he really dead, meaning was his soul, spirit, whatever, detached from his body and he was already out of there?
He was gone.
That's what I thought.
There's a difference between you can keep someone alive almost indefinitely, but it doesn't mean the soul connection is there. It doesn't mean the consciousness is there.
Mm-hmm.
What it was kept the shell alive. The blood was pumping, the heart was beating, but he was already long. He was on his journey like yesterday or the day before.
Mm.
Like, I'm out of here. See you later. The shell's going to be here.
What I also wonder, yeah, I agree with that 100%. What I wonder, though, is would he have been at all in touch with, because he was, you know, really known world internationally, for sure, and the news would have been international, basically the world fussing over whether he was dead or not, you know, when he's out of there. He's like, what are they doing? Or did he not even tune into that at all, and he's off doing whatever.
I think he had that sense of humor where he would have been probably going like, this is kind of fun. You know, like, well, I'll fight over whether I'm dead or not. It's okay. You know, the consciousness would have still been close enough to, you know, have some contact here.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember years and years ago, I was in Russia, and I was talking to a young man, and he knew I was from America, and he said to me, you're from America, right? I said, yeah, I'm from Massachusetts, you know, and he knew Boston. He said, well, if you're from America, you must know Tom Petty. Like, I know him personally.
Crazy.
He thought, like, America, because he thought Massachusetts was near California.
Right.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They have no concept. The average person has no concept how big the United States is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And that was Russia. When I was in England, and this was in like 1981, I think it was, maybe 82, I forget, something like that. I was younger then, obviously, and so I was with young people, and that's when Miami Vice, I think it was, or something like that, was big.
Yeah.
And okay, where are you from? Well, New England. You know, I didn't know if they knew what Rhode Island was. But believe it or not, everybody knows what a Rhode Island Red is. So if you say Rhode Island, they're like, Rhode Island Red.
Yes.
You know, that actually came in handy. But they're like, so are you near Miami, as they pronounce it over there?
Yes, Miami.
I'm like, oh my God, you know how? And that would be like, I don't even know how far away something would have to be from, say, London to get that kind of distance, you'd be past with Bulgaria, probably. I mean, if you want to go 1,600 miles, that's how far away Miami is from me. They have no concept. And that's England.
But everybody on the planet knows Boston, L.A., New York,
true,
and Las Vegas.
True.
You know, they might not know Providence, or they might not know, you know, like Baltimore, but they'll know Boston, and they'll know New York, and they'll know L.A. especially.
Right.
You know, those are like your big three. So when I was traveling and people would say, where are you from? I'm near Boston. They're perfectly happy with that.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, friends of mine honeymooned in Australia. And they're from, you know, because Judy and I are right on the Connecticut-Rhode Island border. And they were just, you know, we're from Connecticut. And they were like, what's a Connecticut? They had no idea.
Yeah.
None.
Right.
So you do, you have to say New York, Boston, L.A., something like that. But the closest they knew was Miami. And I'm like, oh my. That's kind of amazing to me because, but most people, well, not Russia or China, but most countries are quite small in comparison.
Yeah.
So, you know, people just project out and they just don't realize if they haven't been here how gigantic America actually is. And when they make fun of us for not traveling, we travel just as much as they do. It's just like in 30 minutes, you're in France. You know, in 30 minutes, you're still in Massachusetts. You know? I mean, you could take a plane ride. You could be in France, Belgium, Netherlands, Germany in less than an hour.
Well, I was in Amsterdam, and I spent the weekend in Switzerland.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, we'll go to Switzerland for the weekend. You want to go? Then we'll go to Belgium. And that's just what you did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, because people go like, I went to all of these countries. Well, you could do it in a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You absolutely can, which is a great advantage. It's a wonderful thing, but it's not, you know, right. If you were, on the other hand, in Belgium, you wouldn't say, let's go to Kiev today.
No,
you know,
no.
That would be kind of like going to Miami or whatever. It's that's a haul. And you're not going to do it, but.
I can remember it took me from the Polish border up to Moscow. It took me 3.5 days driving to get from there to there.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't realize
how
big that country is.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge,
I was on the plains in Russia, which are kind of like the wheat belt here. And it's mile after mile after mile of emptiness. You know, just wheat fields. And every now and then you'd see like a building. And I'm wondering like, okay... Until you get to, and then when you get to like Moscow, it's the Ring City. It looks like Tolkien. You know, it's built in rings until you hit the center. But it's like, you know, there's nothing. Every now and then you see a hump in the ground, and the person with me said, yo, that's the secret air base. It's like, okay, you know.
Interesting.
But it's literally, and everybody there wanted to speak English. I think that cracked me up. You know, this was after Perestroika, where we were supposed to be like, everyone hated America. And I think there were probably about 80% of the population spoke some English, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, you know. Well, interesting, too, is, well, this is a whole other story that was bizarre. We, now that I work at my sister's print shop, which is a photo print shop, we still do develop film, believe it or not. And there's people who went to St. Petersburg. And this would have been... Like over the last the Christmas holidays last, 2016. So less than a year ago. This is what's really weird about this whole story. But anyway, she said, I mean, St. Petersburg is beautiful, and because I developed the pictures, so I was looking at them and or printed the pictures, I should say.
It is not that beautiful.
Yeah, and she said the people they loved Americans. She said, don't believe what they're telling you. She goes, I don't know about the officials, but the people loved Americans. So this is the weird part. So, of course, I'm admiring the pictures, especially the museums and whatever. Just fantastic. And she happened to tell the story about how she and her husband had gone, I don't know, maybe like you, like when it first opened up or something, or I can't remember, but it was a long time ago. And then now with her son, with their son, who looked to be in the pictures like 20-ish or whatever. They said, you know, we always told them about it. So, you know, we decided to go for a holiday and we did it. So that's how she claimed that was the last time they had been there was like in the late 80s or whatever, right?
Right.
Okay. So I'm looking at the pictures and these were definitely taken with the same camera. I can tell you that. These were taken with a camera. These are not like a picture of a picture.
Right.
So then I see this picture of, what is it called, the Winter Palace or whatever the heck it is?
Catherine the Great Summer Palace, yes.
The Summer Palace, or in other words, the Summer Palace, right? And It was taken from the first floor of a famous hotel with the G20 leaders right outside.
Yes.
The G20 leader that was the American was Barack Obama.
Uh-huh.
And when I looked back, I'm like, wait a minute. This is it looks like it's almost like summer in this picture. It wasn't December, like all these other pictures.
Yes.
And there were several of these, okay?
Yeah.
And I go back, and it was like 2011, okay? 2011 was the year when that took place there, and it was in September. And I'm like, okay, so lady, who are you?
Yeah.
What's this? Because even if this was, say, your husband took this picture and you still use the same camera with the same SD card in it, you're somebody because you're taking a picture from the first floor outside of the 20 biggest leaders on the planet, feet away.
Yeah.
Security
sweep would have kept her back from there. So, yeah, I know she's somebody.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so why did you lie about that? Clearly you were in St. Petersburg in 2011. This camera was in St. Petersburg 2011. And what was amazing was they were so close to the official pictures that were taken that day. But there were some, like, you could see where their hands were positioned, or, you know, would never make an official picture and stuff like that. But it's beyond fascinating. And I'm like, okay, got it. You're somebody.
I was there in 92, shortly after Perestroika, when the Communist Party collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Our government basically didn't like, they were saying it was very unstable at the time. I went through an English consulate to get there. And literally drove through from Poland at the border all the way up, like I said, into Moscow. From Moscow, I went to Belarus. I've been through almost the entire, it was the Soviet Union still at the time, all the way up to Western Siberia. And beautiful place. Love, the people reminded me of Klingons, you know, like the warlike tribe, but very friendly. I don't know how many home-cooked meals I had while I was there because people would just invite you. And they didn't have much. I mean, it was pretty meager back then.
Yeah.
But it was lovely. Met my first real shaman in Western Siberia, which was fun. Nothing like the ones we have here, which cracked me up.
Right.
Here you go and take a correspondence course on the Internet and become a shaman.
Oh, yeah.
Over there, it's kind of like you're almost born into it. Like you said, Catherine, I almost got married there by accident. I was in St. Petersburg. I got invited to a wedding, and my date for the night was lovely. Decided halfway through the wedding we could get married, too. Of course, I didn't know her name, but it was a great thought.
Well,
you know, it'd be nice if I knew your name first, and I kind of like begged off the getting married part. But it was a lot of fun. I thought Russia was probably the niftiest place I had been to in years.
Mm.
You know, the course of people being shot in the streets there. They had a lot of mafia wars there at the time. And it was a very different culture. You know, I mean, people were funny. They were very friendly, but things like death didn't bother them much. I was walking back to the hotel one morning. I happened to have an interpreter with me, and there was a gentleman who died on the street, and he was frozen. And I said to her, like, what do we do? And she said, step over him. They'll pick him up later.
Oh, my God.
So a different culture, a different mindset.
Different cultures, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like that in India and stuff, too. You know, you go over there, and you're touring around, and they'll run somebody over in the street, and they'll just keep going and leave the body in the street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They don't pick them up. Yeah.
Well, let's put
they
it
don't
this way. I was there for about a month and a half. And after my trip, I think you call it a debriefing. It's where people, there are certain people that want to know what you saw and what you did, which I thought was a riot. So I'm sure there's a great file on me somewhere.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, there is.
It was kind of like, even the Russians, like, why are you here? I'm a tourist. And they go like, really? Like, why? And I had some great invitations. I get invited. I was at the People's Congress. I got to see the armory underneath, you know, Red Square. You know, it was fascinating. Lovely, lovely place.
You know. Hey, Gary, if you don't mind, if I can ask you one more question.
Sure.
As the show winds down, we've got four and a half minutes to go. Yesterday, obviously, was a big event. To date the show, it's October 3rd, 2017. Well, October 2nd, in Las Vegas, there was a mass murder, or whichever day that was, the other day. And so what is all that about when basically that many people leave the planet, same place, same time? Is this karma? Is this just quirk of fate? Prearranged? What is it?
I almost believe it's that quirk of fate more than the prearranged.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I don't believe it's a cosmic plan. You know, I don't, it's just, it's one of those horrendous things. And, you know, for whatever reason, the gentleman seemed to have lost his mind at one point. Because no one in their right mind just kills indiscriminate people. You know, I mean, these people were not targeted for who they were or what they were.
Mm-hmm.
They were just indiscriminate poor people in a crowd having fun. And literally, it's that quirk of fate. It's that, you know, God forbid, I hate to use the term moment of destiny where the bomb goes off and you happen to be there. You know, as sad as that is, you know, I don't believe there's a supreme being picking them out going, it's you, 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 and you. You know, the amazing thing was, you know, if you look at this, the cross section of people that were harmed, there is no ideology there. They're not anything.
Yeah.
They're country music fans, okay?
Well, I mean, somewhat, it is amazing, even seeing the victims, what a cross section it was. There was a professional tennis player from England.
Yeah.
Laura Robson was there. You have policemen. You have people from Connecticut. You have people from one from Massachusetts.
The young lady from Tewksbury.
Tewksbury.
Yeah.
L.A. You know, it wasn't, you know, immediately people were, oh, there are a bunch of Republicans from whatever. Is everybody, people... America, especially in the world too, for God's sake, people are people, and there's music. There's a big concert. You're in town. You go to it, and it's just an amazing thing. And people got together and were having a great time. I saw some
to label, you know, like he's an ultra left wing, and he's there because these are right wing people. Well, they weren't right wing people. They were country music fans. Okay.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, you don't carry a card saying, you know, I'm a Republican or a Democrat because I like Toby Keith or whatever, you know?
Right, right.
So, no, I do believe it was a random thing. And even on the faith part, I don't believe it was destiny, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No, terrible thing.
As usual, this has been lovely.
Yeah, tell us about what's coming up with you.
I still have a bunch of different shows we're doing where the website carries all of those. Basically, you name it, we're there. The number is 508-943-9058, and the website is GaryMcKinstry.com. And I thank each and every one of you out there, and you guys especially. And I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks so much, Gary.
Well, we thank you for being on with us. We've always enjoyed having you with us. So.
Always my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you take care.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's the end of our hour. It's always fun having Gary with us.
It is, yeah.
Anyway, I hope everyone has a great week. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Judy. For Gary McKinstry and Judy Sellens, I'm Dave Turco. Thanks for joining us on The Unknown Zone, and we'll see you again next week for another hour of The Unusual.